The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Boy, does it ever. Good morning, everybody. I'm here with my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, brother?
Living the dream, living the dream.
And our faithful producer, Backward Hat Man, who is always...
Good morning.
Good morning.
Always on the ball. Broadcasting live here from downtown Reading, KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. If you want to get online and listen to us live, you can... Listen to us on 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. And if you have a question or you have a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567. And we have a very exciting guest today. We have Mark Baird, and we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Doing all right.
Yeah. So far, so good. So, yeah, you have a court case that's been going on for a few years now.
Way too long.
Well, you know, justice delayed is justice denied.
That's
you know
true.
That, right?
That's true.
They don't delay anything in the courts, do they?
No, not at all.
So, anyway, so we'd like to know what's going on with that now. Maybe give us about 3 or 4 minutes on the background, but let us know what's going on now, because the last time I talked to you, you sound very encouraged and... you know, if this case goes through and goes the way we want it to, it's going to be a real change for California and possibly the rest of the United States. So what's the use, sir?
Well, I brought the case initially because California has two penal codes, 25850 and 26350, that ban the open carry of either a loaded or unloaded handgun. And we have had the right to openly carry handguns, loaded or unloaded, in California since before California was a state. At least 200 years that we can prove for sure. And in 1968, in order to stop black people from carrying guns, California banned the practice of openly carrying a loaded weapon. And then in 2012, the state senator, who thankfully is now termed out, little Anthony Portantino, he passed legislation to ban the open carry of an unloaded handgun, and his statement at the time was, you don't need a gun to go buy a cheeseburger. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're in South Central Los Angeles or many places in California, I beg to differ with you on that. But anyway, I brought the lawsuit because California insists and demands, in fact, by law, that you beg the state's permission before you're allowed to exercise Second Amendment guarantees. I thought that was unconstitutional. And penal code bans the right itself without government permission. And so I sued them. And to make a long story, a long, really tedious, torturous, expensive story short, it took 5 or 6 years to get through just the federal court in the Eastern District because of Judge Karen Mueller, who, quite frankly, really isn't a judge. She's just a Democratic hack and sides with the state almost every time. Because of her delaying tactics, and believe me, federal judges steal your liberty every day by delaying, I finally got the case out of her courtroom. It is now before the Ninth Circuit. And the good part about that is that this particular panel that has the case now in the Ninth Circuit has already given me a unanimous decision to order Judge Mueller to re-litigate the preliminary injunction because she didn't follow the law, she didn't follow court precedent, she didn't follow legal precedent, she didn't follow federal rules of procedure, she didn't follow federal rules of evidence, she didn't even follow her own procedures. She didn't follow the precedent of the Ninth Circuit, nor did she follow the precedent of the Supreme Court. In fact, she objects strenuously to both, even though she has said in her filings that she must and is bound to follow those precedents. And so, fortunately for me, since she ignored the Ninth Circuit's order to revisit the case and adjudicate it correctly, the same panel that ordered her to do that retained jurisdiction of the case, and which means we will probably win with a unanimous decision when they finally calendar and hear the case.
That's fantastic news. I know how long you've been fighting this, and both Lynn and I have been to court with you a couple of times, and I can't understand how our rights are being taken from us, and this governor has got to go, and Judge Mueller is just, it's unbelievable how, I remember that she made the statement that the Constitution means what she says it means in her courtroom. I'll never forget that one.
Yeah, she also claims that there are no God-given rights and there are no pre-governmental rights, and that as a free and independent human being, like the California Constitution, Article 1, Section 1 says you are, in Karen Mueller's opinion, you are not. You are born with whatever right government gives you, and the rights that government gives you, government can take away because they are responsible for public safety. And you can do anything to the citizens of a state as long as you claim it's on behalf of public safety, in Mueller's opinion. Now, that is not the law, and that is certainly not the case, and I aim to prove that's true, because the Bill of Rights is the only part of the Constitution that Judge Mueller objects to. She doesn't object to the fact that Article 3 says she serves for life, and it doesn't really say that, but that's what they claim it does. She doesn't object to the fact that the president serves for 4 years and congressmen serve for 2 years and, so on and so forth. She doesn't object to any of the Constitution except those provisions that are in the Bill of Rights where the people have pre-governmental, God-given, inalienable rights. That's the part of the Constitution she objects to. She thinks the government should be able to change that at will and bestow those rights upon the people that government feels like you are entitled to, and change those rights anytime government wants to, and revoke those rights at government's will. That's what Karen Mueller believes. That's how she judges cases in her court. And it is my goal, and I feel like God has instructed me to do this, to stop that practice, at least with regard to the Second Amendment and your ability to defend yourself and your family.
Where do we go from here? What's the next step in the court case?
Well, the case is in front of the Ninth Circuit, and they have to calendar it. In other words, they have to set a date to hear the case, and they haven't done that yet, which is a little surprising to me because a favorable panel should have already done that. Now, I'm not privy to whether the three judges set the calendar or whether the motions panel sets the calendar.
What would be the difference? Go ahead.
Well, the difference would be the judges themselves have stated in their writing that this case should be adjudicated quickly because denial of a constitutional right is irreparable harm even for one day. So in the judge's opinion, this case should have a quick resolve. In fact, they ordered Judge Mueller to revisit the case and revisit the preliminary injunction, and to do so quickly, because to deny a citizen constitutional guarantees is irreparable harm and it's inexcusable. So if it were up to the judges, I think they would have already calendared it. But if it's up to the motions panel of the Ninth Circuit, well, the Ninth Circuit doesn't care whether you have liberty. In fact, they hate the fact that you have liberty. So for them, delay is the only way they can win, because they're not going to win when the case comes to light. So they're in the middle of delaying, we think, and what we're trying to do is come up with a strategy to force them to put this case on the calendar.
So at this particular point in time, we really don't know. You sort of have an inkling it'll be after the election and maybe in January. Is that kind of what you guys are looking at?
Well, no, not at all. I mean,
I had
genuinely thought it would be done already. I can't imagine that it can go much longer. I mean, it's one thing to hear the case and decide it wrongly or correctly, but it is another case entirely to deny the hearing itself.
Right.
I mean, so what we're trying to do is come up with a strategy, and we might have to file a writ of mandamus or something to the Supreme Court to tell the Supreme Court to force these judges to do their job.
You know, in a writ of mandamus, is there any way, because I know that, you know, they might get 2,000 of those a year, is there a way that you can set a priority for this case? Is there a way that you're
no.
thinking about?
No. I mean, they probably get more like 10,000 of them a year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they probably get 10,000 of those a year. But
yeah.
that's the only thing open to a citizen to try unless you resort to self-help, and we're not at that point. So, you know, for now, we're bound by the very laws that the courts ignore.
Well, I know a lot
and
of
that is mm-hmm. that's something that every citizen should consider very carefully and think about when you vote, because you are bound by the laws that the judges in power now absolutely ignore and absolutely act contrary to. They are of the opinion, a lot of the judges in the Ninth Circuit, that they are above the law, that they create the law, that they are a legislature in and to themselves. And unless we start to vote differently in California, that's not going to change.
Well, I don't think that's going to be possible. I believe, as you believe and Wynn believes, that the only way we can fix this state is to split it. It's the only possible way. There's no. We even have some people that are running for assembly that are talking about that now.
Jimmy?
Maybe not so much talking about that they're going to do it, but talking about we need more representation, and now we're hearing the verbiage that each county needs its own senator.
Yeah, we've been trying to do that for 10, 15 years now, and you're right. That is the way to effect quick change. You know, for us to change the dynamics so that we don't have to constantly fight these battles over liberty is to form a state with a constitution that supports liberty and the legislature that supports the constitution that the people created. And it's interesting to me because even in California, people created this government. Government did not create the people. People created the government to serve one function and one function only, and that is to secure the rights of the governed. The California Constitution is no different from the federal Constitution in that respect. It declares that we are born free and independent people, and as such, we enjoy certain inalienable rights, among those possessing and protecting lives and property. So you have the inalienable right, according to the Constitution formed and written by the people of the state of California, to protect your life, your family, and your property. You have the God-given pre-governmental right, and I can prove all that because no constitution has force until it's written. So if they wrote in a constitution that you have an inalienable right, it has to, by its very nature, be a pre-governmental right, because it isn't a constitution until it's already written and voted on. And so if you do not, in fact, possess those rights, if government has all the rights, then why on earth would you bother creating a government that intends to steal your rights from day one? Why would people want that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, everything gets crazier and crazier every day, and I'm kind of out of
ammunition.
out of answers to give people, and they say, well, you know, this isn't constitutional. This isn't constitutional. Well, oh boy, howdy, it's not constitutional, and everything they're doing to us isn't constitutional. I'm really not sure where this is all going to end up, but I do know that there's a lot of communities now in the different counties are putting together with citizens things called community watches. And not neighborhood watches, but community watches. And of course every neighborhood should be contacting their police department and working with them if they can get the police department to work with them. I don't think we'd have much trouble here in Shasta County or in Redding, but I know some other counties would, and some other counties would have a lot of trouble. I mean, right now, if you're in Santa Clara County, you're in San Diego County or Riverside County, those people are having a hell of a time. What do you believe when this election is over? What do you see happening? What's your thought process in? Okay, Trump gets elected, this happens. Trump doesn't get elected, this happens. I'm not asking you to look into a crystal ball, just interested in your opinion.
Well, I think that Trump getting elected is obviously very important. I support him, and I support the policies of liberty, and I support the policies of independence and individual liberty, of course. So, yeah, I favor that. But Trump can do nothing for us that we are not prepared to stand for ourselves.
That's right.
And he is not in a position to look at a federal judge and say, stop doing the illegal things you're doing. That's not within the jurisdiction of a president, because, quite frankly, the judicial branch under Article 3 is a separate but equal branch of government. So if you have managed to pack the court with all of these liberal, socialist, communist judges who are not in favor of individual liberty, who are in favor of government permission for everything, then you got what you paid for, because your vote was misspent earlier, much earlier in the process. So you can't expect one guy, and it's like the sheriffs of these counties. I hear this constitutional sheriff stuff all the time. There's no such thing. In California, under Article 5, the sheriff works for the state attorney general under his direct supervision. If the state's attorney general doesn't like what a sheriff does, he sends state police down to arrest you and take you to a different venue to be tried. So, and it's the same thing with a president. A president has certain powers, and he doesn't have other powers. And the fact that we have a corrupt court system is our own fault. If you don't like that, go in the bathroom and look in the mirror, because you didn't work hard enough to maintain an independent judiciary. So here we are now, and we have to fight these things out in a legal, ethical, and moral manner. And that means we've got to prevail, and we've got to put our money where our mouth is, and we have to stand for our liberty in such a way that it is so loud and so relentless that we cannot be ignored by judges or courts or legislatures or presidents or anything else, for that matter. We formed this government, not the other way around. If we are not willing to stand for the things we believe in, then those things will fall. And they have, in fact, already fallen in the state of California so far that we believe, the Jefferson people believe, it's irretrievable. I think we're probably right about that. How do we pull that off? That's an entirely different story. We've tried in court. Judge Mueller presided over a $1 million lawsuit that she lied, cheated, had illicit conversations with other judges who weren't briefed on the case. She had backroom conversations with the Ninth Circuit Court. She did every dirty, unlawful trick a judge can possibly do. And so we ran out of money.
She never addressed the claim either.
Well, no, and that's the same in the Second Amendment case. One thing my amicus briefs from Gun Owners of America and Cal Guns and all the other organizations that support this case now, with a single exception of CRPA, by the way, although the Shasta County CRPA made a very, very generous donation to the case, and I am eternally grateful for that. So they're good people, and they did... They are doing what they can to help me, but the organization itself hasn't helped. But one thing these amicus briefs state very clearly, as does my own brief, the court has never answered the question that we asked it.
Right.
We asked the question, is it constitutional for the state to deny us the absolute constitutional guaranteed right to openly carry a loaded weapon by lawful individuals for the peaceful purpose of self-defense? Is that constitutional or isn't it? And they keep going, well, you could get a license, and California might issue you a license, and we may give you permission to do this, or we may give you permission to do that. But they've never answered the question, is it constitutional to deny people the right to keep and bear arms? That's the question this court has not answered yet. That is the question we hope to force them to answer. If they answer that in the affirmative, and I believe this panel will, if they can ever get a hold of the case, then we will have the Second Amendment restored and vindicated. If we can do that, we can do all the rest, folks. I mean, if we can do this, we can do anything.
Amen.
And that's the point of this case. If we can restore the liberty to self-defense, we can restore the rest of our liberty as well.
Yeah, you know, and you made such a great point about President Trump. I mean, there's, we all support him here. And it's a situation where the jurisdiction he has still doesn't change Gavin Newsom from being Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Or the communist Democrats that run our legislative body that have a huge control over that. And so I don't even really think
it's the communist Democrats. I mean, you know what? My mother was a Democrat. She wasn't a communist. I think they're just communists.
Yeah.
I think they've left the word Democrat so far behind, it doesn't even apply to the, it doesn't apply to that party in California.
Yep.
They are the Communist Socialist Party of California.
Yep.
And the word Democrat is kind of, they left that behind so many years ago, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
But what we could do, perhaps, and the way I see this going, because we've tried the other avenues. We tried petitioning the state legislature. They ignored us. We tried petitioning the court. They not only ignored us, they defrauded us. We have to appeal to the people next time directly. We're going to have to somehow come up with the money to have a statewide initiative. I know the people in San Bernardino County and Riverside County are tired of it.
Yeah, Riverside County is really moving. I'm gonna try to get in contact with them in the next week or so.
I'll give you the guy's number if you want.
I do. If you could text that to me, that'd be great. Because I went down there a couple of times and we talked about this, and there's a lot of, I mean, you're right, there are people down there that are completely fed up. I'm trying to see a peaceful way through this whole thing. You know, it's something as simple as the last gas-powered lawnmower got sold about 2 weeks ago. And I heard it on the radio, the guy who bought the last one, okay? And from what I understand, there are 85 weed whippers that we have left that are gas-powered. Then it's all electric. And as you stated so many times, I mean, how do you use a tractor that's electric? And you're, I mean, how do you, it's insanity. But, and how do you keep it recharged? And it's just insanity. Are they pushing us to a point to where we don't have any other options but self-help?
No, I think they have a different intent. Their intent is to destroy the fabric of our character and the fabric of our society and recreate it in their own image. That's purely a Marxist-Leninist type of vision, this utopian society where everyone saves the environment in the way that the government wants you to save it. Whether that works or not is, you know, a whole different story. And you know, what they want is they want absolute and total control of every step you take, every breath you take, every drink of water you get, where your food comes from, what you eat, how much you eat, what you pay for it. They want absolute and total control over your life, your children's lives. I mean, look at it this way. The California education system has the authority now to take your children away from you if you don't agree with their gender dysphoria.
Right.
When that very same education system has a rate of graduation in school that's well under 50%, and half the kids that graduate can't even read at grade level. And that's the government that wants to control your life? I mean, come on, folks. It's time to wake up and take your state back. And barring that, let's get a statewide initiative and break away so that we can form our own government and not commit social suicide with the rest of these people.
Yeah, you know, it's just every time... I agree with you, and I think Wayne agrees with you too. I mean, the statewide initiative would be perfect, and of course, you know, we were able to do that using the California Constitution, and we can do that. The thing is, will they honor it? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we voted for and tried to pass, and the courts just change it. I mean, it always seems to go back to the courts, and it's very frustrating to see how we're going to end tyranny. Because that's what it is. And you've said it yourself. I mean, you made a great point when you said, you know, it isn't, we shall not comply. We won't submit because we don't submit to tyranny. We don't submit to, you know, to illegal and immoral laws and policies. And, you know, Marley Hornick made a great comment when we interviewed her. She said, you know, people say we will not, we shall not comply. Isn't the government supposed to comply with us? Isn't the government supposed to submit to us?
Well, like I said, people created government, not the other way around.
Exactly.
People were here before government. That's true. That was true in Spanish days. When the first people came to California, there were no government here. They formed the government. They allowed government. When the people of California created the California Republic, they allowed a government. They created that government. When we voted the United States in to become a state of the United States, one of the states, we voted that in. We allowed that to occur. We weren't here and they were already here and just took us over. I mean, that's only happened one place on earth that I can think of, and that's Australia, where it was a prison and the government was there before the people.
Well, we're going to have to go off for our break. Can you hang on? Do you have time to stay with us for the second half hour?
Yeah.
Great.
Sure.
Okay, with that, time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
It's time again for the Majestic Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, the free admission for all ages. See the return of the beautiful dancers, the feel of the powerful drummers. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, call 530-225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter family, this station and other proud sponsors.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Reading Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Reading Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
That we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense.
Don't try and take my guns away. You'll wish you hadn't, you'll be sorry. The worst mistake you'll ever make. Don't try and take my guns away. Mm-mm. You think today's your lucky day. Better think it through before it's too late. Listen close to what I say. Don't try and take my guns away.
Mm-mm.
That could be very dangerous.
Perfect song, Sally.
That could be very, very dangerous.
Perfect song.
they can have them led first, right?
So, Mark, you're there, my friend.
I'm still here.
All right.
Great.
Good.
Okay, good.
Sometimes we can't tell with the phone system we have here. Our producer is saying, I think you're still there.
Well, they're fixing to light up a Chinook next to me, so it might get loud for a few minutes, but once that guy gets away, it ought to quiet down a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, the...
Hey, Mark, I have a quick question. So when we're talking about the citizens, you know, doing a huge corrective action on all this stuff with the garbage that's going on in our state, how do we do this? When you're talking about a referendum, things like that, how do we do this short of spending millions of dollars of our own hard-earned money that we should not have to spend to make this correction? How do we do that?
Well, unfortunately, and this is going to sound kind of cliche, but freedom isn't free. There would be no way for us to gather 2 million signatures without $2 million. I mean, that's about what it's going to cost us to put out a statewide referendum. That's about what the government spends when they want to pass one. So we have to make up our minds that freedom isn't free. It's going to cost us a lot of money. And, you know, the substitute for that is blood. That's the substitute for spending money to get your liberty through the court system or through the electoral process. We have the right of revolution, but, you know, to me, that not only wouldn't work and not enough people would want to do it, And we're not at that point yet. So yeah, it's going to cost us a bunch of money. But what's your liberty worth to you? You know, when you look at $2 million, that's 2,000 people giving a grand apiece.
Yeah.
That's 5,000 people giving $500 apiece. You know, if we got 2,000 people that would pledge $1,000, my $1,000 would be the first check in the barrel.
You know,
you know, it's not that much money when
yeah.
you think about we could turn our lives around. We could turn our state around.
Yeah,
we could
no
create
question.
A state with liberty for our children for generations to come. And if all that cost me was $1,000, hell, that's cheap.
I want to hop in here to talk about what some people are saying about that. With the losses we've had in court, and they're just numerous, it's just been crazy. And then, you know, whatever way you're looking at, as far as, you know, same-sex marriage, that sort of thing, you know, they even changed that on us using the courts. Now, whether you agree with that or not isn't even the issue. The point is that if you vote for something and they can overturn it. So it always goes back to the courts. You know, it seems as if we're always throwing money down a slop chute to where there's no, we don't have any place to get justice. That's what I think the issue is in California. Where do you go to get justice? I mean, we just got 17 new Superior Court judges, and they're all liberals, communists, all of them. And
well,
so, I mean, and then we use our money to fight, then they use our money to fight us, and you're right, that there is no other option other than, but we, maybe somebody out there or somebody that's a lot smarter than we all are can figure out a way of how we can win one of these.
Well, I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head that, you know, we're at the point now where we've allowed this to go on for so long because we weren't paying attention to the government that we created to serve us, that now we're in a pickle. We're in the barrel now. And to get out of the barrel, you have to climb. It's not a downhill stroll. We're going to have to climb the sides of that governmental bucket until we can see daylight. And if we're not prepared to do that, I can guarantee one thing to you. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And as a collective friend of ours just texted me, the state of California has outlawed lead in aviation fuel. So they're going to destroy the general aviation
industry. Correct.
Where do they think
yes.
that the tens of thousands of pilots that are going to fly the next generation of airliners is going to come from without having the gas to put in the airplane? Oh, I know next they'll mandate an electric airplane.
I was just going to say.
There is no such thing.
Well, you know, the thing.
I mean.
You're right about all that.
I got an idea. Just put some really long cords on the solar plants you're putting all over the desert, and we'll just plug the airplane in, but you can only fly around in circles because the cord would get too short otherwise.
Well,
you know, some of these things are so stupid. Our government, our governor, and his henchmen are so stupid that it absolutely defies description, and it defies a vote. I mean, I can't imagine how these people get elected, but they do. And so here we are now. This is the reality we face. We had to either better be prepared to spend our money or we will be spending our blood later on.
Well, you know, a lot of the people that are involved in anything that's really a movement, especially on the right, conservatism, are older people. They're people that are, I mean, they could be people from 55 to 80 that are really the strong suit there. And we had a show and shine here in Reading, and I drove by there and I talked to a bunch of them and I was saying, you know, well, in 10 years we won't be able to have these beautiful gas-powered cars. I go, how do you feel about that? And the answer was, well, I'm glad I'm as old as I am because that means I won't really have to put up with this or see a lot of it. And I think
what they're hoping is that they die
beforehand.
Dies.
And that's a real concern.
Well, I mean, when you think about that, that's pretty pathetic. I hope
it
I
is
die
pathetic.
Before my liberty dies.
It,
I mean,
it,
that's
it is.
Pathetic.
I agree.
I have an answer, and I'm a fairly old guy. I will not submit. I will keep that car. I will go to a neighboring state and buy a car. I will carry my weapons. I will speak freely. I will deny the police entry into my home without a warrant. I demand a public and speedy trial. I will not say things that incriminate myself. I demand the right to life, liberty, and property, and I will exercise the right to defend those things, as Samuel Adams put it, the best that I can.
And in California, every one of those things would be a crime. in California and California, all those things would be a crime. The sad part is that people agree to that, but that's the response you get from a lot of them. Well, you know, I'm glad I'm old enough to get through this. And I even told those folks, I said, well, what about your kids, your grandkids? What about the youth? And then you really look at the younger people and you go, okay, well, if they don't care, right? I mean, if they don't care,
But I think, Terry, don't you think, though, in a lot of cases, it's not that they don't care. They don't know yet. They haven't reached a point in life where those liberties really are paramount importance.
Well, I'm talking about the young married. I'm talking about the married couples. I'm talking about 25 to 45, that group. Yes. That's going to be the key that's going to do all of this, I think. Because they're married, they're probably both working, they're seeing what's going on. They're struggling with what's going on. They have the schools that are outrageous. I mean, as you pointed out before, how in the world can you possibly say, we're going to be fighting for parental rights? What the hell? We're going to be fighting for parental rights? I mean, you have God-given rights to protect your children. They're your children. Well, we're going to fight our schools. What?
And you know what's funny? There are four Supreme Court cases that declare that parents have the absolute authority over their children over and above the government. There are four Supreme Court cases that declare that.
Yes.
So, but if no one insists or demands on that liberty, then you might as well have never had it because it doesn't exist. If you don't demand your liberty, if you don't exercise that liberty, then it doesn't exist.
But how do you exercise it if you're not even allowed to go into a courtroom? You're not allowed to fight in a legal, moral, and ethical way. How do you fight that and be successful with that?
Well, the first thing I would do as a parent is I would go down to that school and take my child out.
That's true.
I wouldn't allow them. I would not submit them to the authority of an education system that not only demands that Johnny can be turned into Jeanette, but that he not be able to read when he graduates school. I wouldn't allow my children to be subjected to that kind of corporal punishment by the government.
Amen.
And if they tried to take my children, they would run smack into the Second Amendment. That's what I personally would do.
There you go.
You know, there's been an argument that, what about the single parents, that have kids going
what
to school?
What about them?
And I'm getting a message here. I don't know what my producer wants.
Well, single parents are not different. They're just less. I mean, they don't have that team. They don't have that couple. They don't have the strength that a married couple has. But they're still parents. They still have absolute authority over their children. They still have to demand that the government obey the dictates of the people as enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. They must demand that. If they fail to do that, then they're nothing but subjects.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. You know, the thing is that it's really, I mean, each parent's responsibility to take care of their kids. I mean, it's, if somebody has a handout and wants help, all good citizens, all good people would want to do that. The thing is that it's not our responsibility to take care of all that for the parents that are deadbeat parents, and there's a lot of those. And I think that the main thing is that if you're going to have a situation where you're going to have people that are in dire straits but are trying their best to get their kids educated, then there is groups that'll help them. I mean, you know, public school exit's one of them. There's a lot of them, and I think what my producer wanted to know is if we're taking calls. The answer is yes, we'll take a call. And so, anyway, I'm at my wit's end for this. I mean, it's like, I know, let's go to court and fight that we have rights. No, let's just tell them, no, we have rights. Like you're saying, I'm scratching my head.
And I think that concept is perfect for an individual. It's perfect for even a small group of individuals. But it won't work on a statewide basis because a lot of people are afraid, and they're right. They should be afraid. They should be afraid of the government they've allowed to blossom and to grow. But look, folks, here we are now. You know, we're in this position because we put ourselves here. That's all true. I take as much responsibility as any. I mean, I wasn't paying attention every day of my life for the last 72 years. But I am paying attention now, regardless of how long that has been. And now we know that this is a fact. And now we, as citizens of the United States and veterans and mothers and fathers and people in service to our fellow man and people in service to Christ, now we have to take responsibility for what we know. And when we do that, that means we must take action. And that action involves changing the government that would take away our freedom to worship Jesus Christ, that would take away our freedom to defend ourselves and our family, that would take away our freedom to keep the produce that we have made in our jobs and to keep our own money and to spend it in the way we want to spend it and to create lives for our families and children that have meaning and worth in this world. It's time to do something about that. Now, in my humble opinion, and admittedly I could be wrong and maybe somebody's got a better idea, and if you do, don't keep it a secret, but in my humble opinion, we've tried court, we've tried the legislature, we've tried all of the lesser means of accomplishing this. Even some of those cost a lot of money. Well, now we're at the crux. We have to do something that probably is going to cost a lot of money. And that's going to be a statewide initiative to form the state of Jefferson and to take our liberty away from the state of California and give it back to the citizens, the people of Jefferson, whomever they may be, in whatever county they may exist in. And
yeah,
that has yet to be determined. We think we have about 20 counties that will certainly go. I'll bet you there are more, because I'll bet you if you walk down Main Street, California, most of the people would say, no, I really don't want to pay $5 a gallon for gas. And, yes, I need a gas-powered weed eater. And, yes, I don't. Yes, I don't want my children indoctrinated in the ways of Karl Marx and Lenin. And, no, I don't want to have the schools give my child permission to change their sex without my knowledge.
Unbelievable, I know.
Abortion, or have an abortion without my knowledge. No, I don't want taxpayers' money to be spent on those things.
Right.
I'll bet you there are a lot of people.
Well, there might be somebody on the line right now who's calling in that wants to say that. Jimmy, what say you, sir?
There?
Yeah, we're here. And speak up as loud as you can, my friend, just because the phones, I want Mark to be able to hear what you're saying. Only it's not you, it's the phones. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure thing. I'll try to, yeah. So this open carry thing, you know, people like me, I wouldn't really open carry in the city limits. But if I had the choice, that'd be great. But about the open carry thing, I would love to be able to open carry on the river trail or camping or something like that. You know? I mean, it's pretty stupid because, you know, when I go to Arizona, I put on a sidearm and I fill up my tank for, you know, $1.50 less a gallon than I do here, and nobody bats an eye. You know, people aren't running and screaming going, oh my gosh, he's got a firearm. Nobody bats an eye. They don't care. And I asked a state trooper, what do you think about open carry? Because our former sheriff said that it would make his deputies nervous. And the guy looked at me like, you're crazy. No, I want people to open carry.
Then you know who the good guys are.
Yeah.
You don't have to conceal it. Mark, what say you? Were you able to hear Jimmy?
No, I couldn't hear a word.
Well, he said that he doesn't know if he would open carry in town or not, but he would love to have he should have the right to make up his mind if he wants to or not. And of course, that's constitutional.
Like camping or anything.
Like camping, yeah. Or even on the river trail. I mean, if you're walking out there with your grandkids or your kids, you know, and you've got a bunch of crack addicts out there, you probably want to be protected.
And the other thing,
you know,
if you could tell,
well, I mean, look,
Mr. Baird,
the Second Amendment isn't a command.
You probably can't hear me.
Right. You can do it.
I work on fires also, and I know he's a pilot. Hey, guys,
you're both talking at the same time.
Yeah, Jimmy, Mark was responding.
Yeah, he was responding to you.
And we know you can't hear each other.
Yeah, that's just a bummer on the phone line. Go ahead.
Archaic system we
have. Go ahead, Mark, and then if you can't hear him, go ahead.
The Second Amendment is not a command. It's a right.
Right.
It frees people to do that which they wish to do, and if they don't wish to do it, they don't have to do it.
There you go.
Did you hear that, Jimmy?
No, but I'll listen to the archive.
Okay, well, what
other
he said,
question or thing I'd like to run by Mark is I work on fires, too. I just did the Park Fire. I did the Hill Fire. I run a water tanker, and they were talking about not letting planes or helicopters use fossil fuel, right?
Right.
Well, I want to know how these idiots are going to plan to load tons of fire retardant or water onto their aircraft with an electric aviation thing. I mean, you got, that's going to take so many tons of batteries just to fly the thing, you know?
I do believe they can hear each other now.
Oh, do you?
Okay.
I don't know why they couldn't before, but anyway, can you guys hear each other
now?
No,
that's not going to work. I got feedback, Zach.
Anyway, what Jimmy said is that, you know, how are they going to load the retardant and all this other stuff? How are they going to do all this stuff without gasoline? And he said that he's fought fires, too. Again, folks, I apologize. The phone systems just are not allowing two people to speak for some reason.
I believe we have Mark still.
Yeah, we have Mark still.
Yeah,
and then
the answer is those things won't work and they can't work. Unfortunately, even an idiot knows that. And unfortunately, the people in Sacramento aren't even as smart as an idiot. But, everyone knows that the system will collapse under its own weight at some point. And then we may have to fight just to survive, but we don't have to let it get to that point. That's my contention.
Well, you know,
this is going to be expensive, but if we spend the money and let's give the address out of 14441 Old Oregon Trail. And if you want to give to a statewide initiative, put CFR on the memo line. We already have a board and an organization and a charitable to accept these donations, and we can start a statewide initiative to form the state of Jefferson, and let's move, folks. And like I said, I'll match the first $1,000 in there. I make that pledge right now. If Wynn gets a check for $1,000, I'll put $1,000 in too. And if you want to donate to the Second Amendment, Wynn can give the address because I'm not where I have it, but send a check to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, all caps, no spaces, and then put 2A in the memo line and help me win this lawsuit, because I guarantee you, if we vindicate the Second Amendment, if we tell the government of California that we won't go quietly, that we will not submit, that is going to start to change the dynamic. And we can then stand on a tree stump and tell the rest of California, if you want the rest of your rights back, help us. I mean, we can get our rights back, but we can't do it alone. I can't do this alone.
Amen. And the address, too, just so everybody understands, the mailing address for any of the checks that you want to send, whether you send them, make them out to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, and if you want to do SOJ, just put that in the memo for State of Jefferson, or if you want to do it for the Second Amendment, put 2A in the memo, but then you mail the check to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Redding, California, let's say 14421 Suite B, like boy, Suite B, and the Redding, Redding zip code is 96003. Sorry, I hammered that up a little bit, but it's 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003.
You know, and Jimmy Jimmy just gave some really common sense, had some common sense questions, common sense concerns, and we need more of that. I mean, where people just are using common sense on what's going on around them. You're right. The initiative really is that you've got to start going to your counties, hammering your counties. The first thing you can do is try to get them to also create
referendums?
No. In the counties, we have them do an ordinance.
Ordinance.
And so if we did an ordinance and we did something like that to where we just aren't anything that's not constitutional, anything that is not, that doesn't guarantee our constitutionally protected rights, the county and law enforcement in the county and all the people that we fund and the supervisors fund, they will no longer support them. And I mean, we have to take some heavy-handed situations in each one of these counties because it's insane. But we still have, I don't see how it helps when people are saying, well, you know, I'm retired, I've got my pension here, you know, things are okay here. You know, I maybe got another four, 5, 10 years left, and I'll just, you know, hey, it's up to them now to figure it out. I mean,
Bible has a good answer to that, Terry, because when people stand before Christ because, oh, I have my pension and I have my life and I'm just going to go fishing and then I'm going to die and hopefully my liberty will last longer than I do, and you're going to stand in front of the judge of the universe and you're going to say to him, Lord, Lord, and he's going to look at you and say, I never knew you. Get out of my sight. Because if you don't walk the walk, if you don't talk the talk, I mean, faith without works is dead. You think you're doing a good thing by hiding from it. You're not. You're just prolonging the inevitable. You're condemning the people who come after you to a living hell in a state that should be a life that fulfills their dreams. And it's not going to be okay in the end. It won't.
And you're allowing the perpetuation of the ill-gotten gains and everything that's going against all of the sovereign citizens of this great state.
You're not only allowing it, you're enabling it. And how
that's
do
right.
you as a citizen sit back in your home and condone the spending of your money as a Christian to abort children in the womb? How do you sit back and reconcile to yourself that you are going to allow the money you pay in taxes to chop little girls' private parts off or little boys' private parts off so that they can turn them into something that they are not, some kind of monster from which they'll never recover? How do you condone the spending of your tax money to continue the illiteracy of the majority of children in the state of California? You as a Christian, you as a taxpayer, you as a liberty-loving American, how do you condone the fact that your tax money is being spent to cripple people, to kill people, to stifle their future, to economically disadvantage them intentionally in favor of certain other groups where they're taking your money and giving it away to people who broke the law to come here?
Yeah.
How are you okay with that? And I don't care how old you are.
Yeah, you're
if
right.
If you're not okay with it, let's do something about it, and let's start today.
Well, one of the things that are going on here, there's some young people, and God bless them for it, that are putting on classes for the Constitution with Peter Green? Rick Green and...
No idea.
Yeah.
Is that local?
No.
Oh, well, I have
trying,
no idea.
I'm trying to remember.
I have no idea who that is.
I want to say David Barton. That's who it is. And they're putting on this class, and it's really good. So Barton and Green, very, very good. The thing is, folks, if you don't use the Constitution, it's just a piece of paper. And a lot of people get educated on it and are already educated on it, but that means standing up. That means saying no.
Right.
That means saying no. That doesn't mean, well, I'm educated and they can't do that. Well, this is unconstitutional. Well, no feces, Sherlock. Okay, so the thing is that I can use the word feces. I know I got permission for that one.
Yeah, there you go.
So the thing is that, you know, it's just absolutely crazy to think that we can get all this education and not use it. But, I mean, you stand up, you say no. You just say no. And I don't see another answer. Maybe somebody else has another answer. I don't see another answer.
Well, look, we've been blessed in this nation. We've been given more than most people on earth can ever dream of, and to whom much is given, much is expected.
Required, right?
Yep.
That's right. And that's what I say. So, look, we have two avenues. We need to vindicate the Second Amendment because that gives us a tool upon which to lean when the state comes to take our stuff. And believe me, if you haven't seen it yet, you will, because they are coming and they are going to try to take your stuff. And number two, we can stop this instantly by creating our own state lawfully, legitimately, constitutionally, where we can employ a constitution that we've already written that will support liberty for 50 generations to come. We can do that right now. And all it's going to cost us is a little money. And like I said before, you know, money is cheap. Blood is not. And if you don't fight now, you may be forced to fight when there is no victory, and you will simply fight to determine whether you die a free man or die a slave. And those are the words of Winston Churchill. You know, really, Patrick Henry said, "I have not but the light of history to guide my feet. I cannot tell you what's going to happen except by that which is past." And if you look at history, you will see that tyrants continue to be tyrants. And when you allow them to become tyrants, they get worse and worse and worse until something really, really bad happens.
Yep.
Something that costs everybody.
Yep.
Let's stop this while we can. Let's stop this before that happens. And we can stop it. You know, a couple of million bucks, look, in the overall scheme of California, hell, California spent $50 billion on illegal aliens last year.
Yep. You're right, Mark.
So,
yep, and absolutely 100% right. Mark Baird.
Thank you, Mark.
Share this program. Mark, thank you again, brother. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.